Hey, take a swig of the water.
I thought that was going to be like you. Is that your sample that you're using? Like the DJ Jazzy Jeff sample?
No.
Hey, take a swig of the water.
Ha ha. What?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Aha.
Ha ha ha.
Just... Nearly fell off the chair there.
Nice.
Broke it.
Ha 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 ha.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
So from Ross underscore originals, we've got not enough boyfriends.
Not enough boyfriends. Oh, man. So...
I think that the term...
Yeah.
We need to focus on is not enough.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a situation you would be in where you wouldn't have enough boyfriends.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can that means that you've already got three, but you need seven.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine it's either an eldritch ritual or, like, you are powered by them.
A woman...
Yeah?
...on her deathbed. This is going off the fact... You know, like, people's regrets on their deathbed...
Right.
...are like, oh, should have... played the field a bit more.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
Death appears, played by Steve Buscemi.
No, a genie appears, played by Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi, okay.
Yeah. Death, we use death too much in this.
Fair enough.
And I think a genie happens.
A genie appeared, dressed in a black robe with a scythe.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, it's death, but just with... that comes out of a lamp.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Buscemi leans in and says, "Hey, I'm not death.
I'm not death.
I'm not death. I'm a genie.
It's
despite what it might look like."
Right, we either get an old person and a young person to play the younger them, or we get a young person and make them up to look old.
What, Steve Buscemi?
No, the woman on a deathbed.
Okay, yeah. I think we get Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson.
The singer.
Yeah, the singer.
God Take the Wheel?
Don't know. I've never heard a single song by Kelly Clarkson.
Okay.
I just like the alliteration. Let's choose someone else.
No, Kelly Clarkson. Yeah, we're going with that.
All right.
That's a good one.
So
we make her up to be old in this opening scene.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
The genie's like, "You want to get into the afterlife?"
Well, the thing,
the best Steve Buscemi impression ever.
When you say we're going to make her up to look old.
Yeah.
What that means is, I'm doing the makeup for this.
Yeah.
Shoot, so
yeah, sure.
It's just going to be a skull painted on her face.
Okay.
It's just going to be her in a dressing gown with a walking stick next to the bed and then a skull painted onto her face with glasses on.
Well, yeah.
That's sure. What old people look like.
The glasses painted on.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, onto the skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so you know.
Yeah,
just fine. So you know how it's going to... Visually how this film's going to look.
So... we've got the genie appearing.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, you can get into the afterlife, but are there any regrets you want to just play out and see if..."
I don't know why this genie is telling her about the afterlife. He's not death.
Well, the genie who can
no,
see
it's
the
a,
afterlife.
No, it's a magic hospital bed.
"I can see you're about to die."
Yeah.
"Are there any regrets?" And she's like, I wish I'd gone out with more boys.
I didn't have enough boyfriends.
And so the film plays out over three instances of...
Like, oh, no, it's kind of, except that it's bedazzled.
Yeah.
So it's basically just... It's just like hundreds of opportunities for her to have a boyfriend where she just hates the guy.
Yeah.
Like over and over again.
She wishes she'd made a move on these guys.
Yeah.
She's
got a list. She's got like a diary with where she's written down all the names of the boys she wishes she had gone out with.
Mm.
She's like, she's got one of those diaries that she kept since she was a little girl.
Yeah.
And it always has the name of the boy she fancies in it.
Yeah. So the genie's going through a diary. He's just like, oh yeah, how about this guy? This guy, he's good. I don't know why it's Peter Griffin. He points to...
I tell you what. How about... Richard Bones.
Richard Bones. Yeah. They called him Dick Bones.
They called him Dick Boney. How about him? We'll go, and here we go. And he swings his...
And there's a TV that the static just, okay, like, consumes. Fair the enough. Bed. And then they, like, her and Steve Buscemi appear, but it's the young... Kelly Clarkson, as we know her,
right?
As we know and love,
yeah.
In today's era, and she goes on, like, she's appearing right in front of the tie where she's like, "Oh, I should have done that."
Yeah,
and then she does it.
Yeah,
she asks him out.
Turns out he's a serial killer.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, no, like takes her back to his place, and she sees. It's American Psycho.
Yeah, yeah.
It's we get the apartment set from American Psycho. It's, yeah, a homage.
It's an homage indeed.
Homage to that.
It's a fromage to that anyway. So
she runs out of that just like, oh my god, this guy's a killer.
And ooh. Then Steve Buscemi is like, oh boy, we picked a bad one then.
Yeah. And so the next one.
Yeah.
Right. So the aim of this, I'm guessing...
The next one's called Beefy Douglas.
Beefy Douglas, played by Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And he is... what's wrong with him?
What's wrong with him? He's got a...
He's in a fight club.
He's in a fight club.
Yeah.
Then there's one where she falls in love with Chronic Bob. And he gets trapped in a board game for 20 years. And then...
What?
And then there's Lee von Hausen. Hmm. And he is... gets sent away to be in an undercover cop to try and infiltrate a surf gang who are also robbing banks.
Yeah.
And so, like, stuff like that just keeps happening to them.
Mm.
And she's like, "Oh, well, these are terrible people. I don't want to be involved in them." And it keeps changing. And right, so basically, it's Bedazzled, but every character is just people from other films. And then at the end. Like, this is how I think that Bedazzled should have finished.
Mm.
I think that, what's his face?
Brendan Fraser.
I think Brendan Fraser should have just gone out with the devil. You know...
What, in Bedazzled?
In Bedazzled.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end,
yeah,
of Bedazzled.
I
always thought...
You did just slip there into...
I said in Bedazzled.
Okay, right.
In Bedazzled.
She ends up dating,
it's just Bedazzled.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, well, yeah, so she just starts dating Steve Buscemi, yeah.
Because
in Bedazzled, Brendan Fraser should have gone out with the devil.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that was the point that the devil was trying to make, was... Listen,
no, it wasn't.
You're never going to be able to go out with this girl, no matter how much you change.
I'm pretty
the
sure.
The only person who loves you for you is me. That's what the devil was saying.
No. Right, I'm pretty sure the devil in Bedazzled comes out with the line, "Be careful what you wish for."
Yeah.
Like, there is no...
Yeah, because...
There is no
sexual
tension between
Brendan
Fraser and the devil.
Because you
film.
Keep wishing for this girl, and really, you should have me, Satan.
She never says that.
She says,
never says anything
"I am
like
Satan,
that.
And you and I should have sex." That's what she says.
She doesn't.
In the middle of it, yeah, she says that.
Me and you have seen that film over 6 times.
Yeah, that's true.
She never says that.
You,
that
it's something you get on the 7th time.
Yeah.
You see it. It's one of the. It's like a Hot Fuzz or whatever. You know, it's sort of like something that you can watch loads of times and not see the subtle line where she says, "I am Satan and you should have sex with me."
But I was thinking,
yeah,
right at the end of the film, she's
after
like,
she's had sex with Steve Buscemi,
yeah, who
the
turns
G.
out to be a dick.
Oh right,
as well,
okay.
She's on a deathbed,
yeah,
and her wife comes in.
Right.
Lesson of the film, men are bad.
Right.
Don't
what?
Date men.
Why does she wish she had more boyfriends then?
She just, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Just men are dicks.
Maybe she was joking. imagine accidentally wishing because you were doing a joke.
That was the twist. That was the twist. So the entire time she was just like, what's the word?
Humouring him.
Humouring Steve Buscemi, yeah.
Yeah. Right up in, like up to and including the part where they had sex.
Yeah. Like, it's the most patronising sex on a second watch of this
she
movie.
She was just, like, going along with the joke.
Yeah. In a film like Bedazzled, the real trickster god is the person who does the wiggle. That's a great twist on that. On that tried and tested format.
Rewatch.
On the tried and tested Bedazzled format.
Rewatch Bedazzled and tell me there's no sexual tension between Satan
there
and
isn't.
Brendan Fraser.
There isn't. I think it might just be a part of the actors not having any sexual tension. Because, like, Liz Hurley is doing her best.
Brendan Fraser
might also be doing his best. They just don't gel.
They're both doing a great job of sexual tension. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're both doing a great job of sexual tension in different areas. But they're just... Yeah, no chemistry in Bedazzled. It is a perfect movie.
Yeah.
I do agree.
It is. Yeah, and they succeed wildly on making everyone think that the devil and Brendan Fraser should have sex.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
That's what I thought.
I did not get that from Bedazzled.
Well, watch it again. You'll see it next time you see it.
Yeah.
It's like that bit, like you don't necessarily notice all the things that the director hides in it, you know? And one of them was Liz Hurley and Brendan Fraser.
What? Liz Hurley and Brendan Fraser were hidden the entire film.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you saw the one with Tom Cruise and
you can't think of a female counterpart.
Anne Widdecombe.
Anne Widdecombe.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone.
Anne Widdecombe.
I can't think of I couldn't think of a Liz Hurley. Like, you know, I just couldn't.
It is hard to think of anyone that's not Liz Hurley.
Yeah.
Well, it is like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah. What you saw was the one with Tom Cruise and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. That'd be a great recasting of that film, actually. Yeah. Not now.
I tell you what would be
back then.
What would be a great recasting of that film, Tom?
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson and Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the Yes Very Clever Award. Mm-hmm. This is the award we give out to people who give us puns on existing film titles in the genre. And this one this week has been from Ed Crawley. And that is love, literally.
Love. Oh, actually, yeah. I see.
Love, actually.
Love, basically.
Yeah, love, generally.
Love, probably. I would love it if these were sequels. Actually love it if these were all sequels to the first one.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Love Actually has many sequels.
Yeah.
They're all called Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, where American film production companies have taken the format of Love Actually,
right,
and gone, we can make films like this.
Mother's Day.
Where we've just got loads of little short films all interlinking and cutting together.
Is that what happens in Love Actually?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
You're not seeing it?
No.
No. Oh, basically, there's loads of different films.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's little short films in Love Actually.
Sounds
there's
pretty pants.
There's a little different stories all about love.
Actually.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. What sounds rubbish.
Yeah. It's all right. It's a good Christmas movie.
Yeah. Don't like those.
Oh, fair enough.
Tell you what's a good Christmas movie. Home Alone 2 Lost in New York.
Yeah.
That's it. So. It's the only one.
It's the only one?
Yeah.
Not Home Alone 1?
Well, that's not a Christmas movie as much as Home Alone 2.
Isn't it?
It is, but it isn't.
Huh.
I mean, it is. It basically is. I don't watch it at Christmas.
Fair enough.
I watch it whenever the fuck I want. No one can stop me. Try it, fools!
I was thinking about watching It's a Wonderful Life the other day.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So I was like, I haven't seen that yet. I should probably watch it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It's like Die Hard. I've never seen Die Hard. And every Christmas it rolls
you
around.
Haven't.
Like, everyone's like, you should see Die Hard. You should see Die Hard. I'm like, yeah, I know, right? Never watched
it. That's only an ironically Christmas movie.
I mean, it's set at Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's not does not a Christmas movie make.
You know what, a Christmas... Right, Marvel's got one Christmas movie.
It's Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
We all know that.
It came out in May.
Yeah.
The DVD came out in November.
Nobody knows why it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, why is it a Christmas movie? It was, like... It's incredible. Like, it's so weird.
Who directed that?
Shane Black.
Shane Black. Yeah. Like, can we ask him on Twitter?
Why is Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie?
Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie?
It might have been scheduled pushed to schedule, come out at Christmas. Yeah,
there have been pushed schedules.
But it's just really weird how they were like, oh yeah, we've really banked on this coming out.
It's a huge deal in Iron Man 3 that it's Christmas. Like, a plot point that literally only works because it's Christmas. It's not like there's just Christmas decorations around.
Yeah.
Like, it only works because it's Christmas. Mm. Whereas, like, there are some lines in Die Hard that only work because it's Christmas, but fucking none of the plot points. They could have easily just gone, nah, just done it, yeah.
Well, Iron Man 3 probably has my favourite Robert Downey Jr. Tony Stark moment.
Yeah.
And that is, I think it's Rebecca Hall's character comes in and he goes, oh, you're not going to introduce me to this 12-year-old kid, are you? And she goes, 13, actually. And then he just has this reaction of just, like, it's so weird.
She uses her spicy psychic powers, telekinetic, to cut off his air supply.
Oh, no. He just has, like, a instant weird sort of reflex, and it's an incredible reaction.
That's really strange. But,
yeah, just... Little moments like that make the whole thing worthwhile.
Strangely off topic thing to say.
I've been in such a weird mood this week.
Yeah, it's odd. It's good though. Yeah. Alright. So what was that? What did we just do?
It was
the very clever one, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so from Tomasz Chodakowski, we've got That Time I Kissed a Fish.
Okay. A lot of these have been, like, supernatural.
Yeah, they've been weird. And I think, I've just realised this might be a very clever one.
Yeah?
The Shape of Water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty clever.
I was just like, oh, yeah, it's that time she kissed a fish man. Oh, yeah. Shit.
She did more than that.
Oh, yeah. I bet she did. I mean, I've seen it, so I know.
She hugged him as well.
Yeah.
Held his hand.
He ate a cat.
Yeah, that's true.
Best bit of the movie.
What?
Favourite bit of the movie was where he ate a cat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I thought that cat deserved to live.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you get for bringing a fish monster into your house. Your cats go missing. And you wonder why.
It didn't really go missing as such.
No, yeah, I mean, they knew where it went. They definitely knew where it went.
Yeah, for sure.
So you got a fish man in your house. You brought this illegal fish man into your house.
Yeah.
Your cat is gone. There's a bloody mess on the floor. And the fish man's got blood all around his mouth.
Yeah. It went out for a week.
It just jumped out the window.
It's gone missing.
Yeah. It's disappeared.
Put the posters out. Quickly.
Yeah.
First, ask the fish man if he's seen it.
He can't speak.
So, yeah. Posters it is.
Yeah. You just gotta trust him.
What do you mean, trust him?
You just gotta trust him.
Well, he hasn't said anything.
He hasn't done anything. That's what you gotta trust.
Yeah. I, why would you think he'd done anything?
All
right.
Yeah, why would you think that at all? Mouth covered in blood?
No. Well, but he's a fish, man. That could happen to anyone.
Bloody cat-like remains on the floor.
Yeah, cat-like. Yeah. Again, that could have been one of his weird alien fish poos that just happens to look like a bloody cat.
Or those cat remains could have always been there.
I don't know.
She may not have known.
Something you know, is it?
She's deaf. She can't remember stuff.
No, she's not. No, she's not.
She is.
She's not deaf.
Yes, she is. sure she's deaf. What is she then?
She's a genie.
She's not. She's not deaf.
She's a genie.
No, she's... What is she?
She's played by Steve Buscemi.
No, she's deaf. She can't...
She can't speak. She's deaf.
Wait, what? She... Oh, yeah. No, that was... But she did the sign language.
Yeah. It's like that guy who is always harassing her. You know, the one who loses a toe.
I can't remember that bit.
He gets his toe bitten off.
Who loses a toe?
Badman.
Badman?
Yeah.
Michael...
Cera, yeah.
Michael Cera?
Yeah, can you imagine if Michael Cera did that?
Oh my God. It was like... turnaround for public opinion. I haven't seen Michael Cera in films for ages.
Do you know who I get mixed up?
Who?
Michael Gambon.
Hmm.
And John Hamm. I think it's the French thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's like I get mixed up with Michael Giacchino and Alan Coffey.
Who was Alan Coffey? Who was Alan Coffey, Matt?
What are you about?
Who's Alan Coffey?
Is that guy who was in?
Go on.
Coffey's the New Black.
Coffey is the New Black.
Yeah.
He doesn't exist, does he, man?
Well, neither does Michael Giacchino.
Yeah, he does.
It's just a kind. This is a kind of frothy coffee.
Michael Cappuccino.
Yeah.
Composed many musics.
What's happening?
So cool. I just said Michael Cappuccino composed many musics.
Yeah, he did. That time I kissed a fish.
Mm.
Right. I think this is a kitchen sink drama.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's got to be a rom-com.
Yeah, but it's like a kitchen sink rom-com.
Kitchen sink rom-com.
Yeah. Set in North Yorkshire.
Yeah, like Full Monty.
Yeah.
A rom-com.
So it's set in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Like Full Monty.
Is it?
But a rom-com.
Yeah, is Full Monty set in the 70s?
Yeah, probably.
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Sheffield's always look like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's set in the 70s, like Kez and the Full Monty.
Yeah.
And I was gonna make a joke, but I forgot the name of the film. It's the one about a soul band.
The Commitments.
Yeah. And the Commitments. So,
all set in the 70s.
All set in 70s Sheffield.
Are they?
Yeah.
That Irish soul band.
Yeah, yeah. All set
formed in Sheffield.
Sheffield in the 70s. Mm. So basically, also Harry Potter. So it's set in the 70s in North Yorkshire, is what I'm trying to say to you, Tom. And I don't know why you keep interrupting me with my accurate representation of what films were also from that period.
Yeah.
So, and Kill Bill. So.
Yeah, I agree. That one.
Set in North Yorkshire in the 70s.
Yeah, Kill Bill. Yeah.
Ironically, say Sheffield, not in North Yorkshire.
I mean,
that's the
most. Kill Bill is in North Yorkshire. The rest is in Sheffield.
Yeah, yeah.
Where she gets a samurai sword made, that's in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Sheffield Steel.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
So it's kitchen sink rom-com. Mm. And this kid, played by Rupert Grint,
yeah,
with a baseball cap backwards,
yeah,
to show he's young. And he's wearing shorts and flip-flops. So he's at school in the 70s, North Yorkshire. And he's been bullied by some bullies, mm, who are all wearing what Yorkshiremen are assumed to wear to the beach. He's also shorts, striped, horizontally striped jumpers, and then a napkin that are tied at the corners. Mm. And they're all saying, "What are you doing being a ginger? You idiot. Stop it.
Oh, no.
Stop it. I'm gonna...
You've got the red hair.
I'll punch you, probably." Right? And Rupert Grint's like, "Oh, don't do that. I don't wish it upon myself."
Great defence.
Yeah. Yep. And he's like, "What does your dad do?" And Rupert Grint's like, "He's a fishmonger." Like, "Oh, he loves the fish. Oh, he loves the fish. Oh, I bet he does. I bet he does.
Go on. You want to kiss the fish, don't you?
Kiss a fish. Go on, kiss a bloody fish, you shit. Kiss a bloody fish, you ginger shit."
And the guy grabs a fish off, yeah, off the stall and, like, pushes it in Rupert Grint's face.
Yeah, but he's
the
about fish... to. But then, it's a kitchen sink, remember. No, yeah, magic in this one. No magic, Tom. It's all... This all really happened.
In Sheffield in the 70s.
Yeah. 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 And then Kate Blanchett,
yeah,
says, "Stop it. Stop teasing him.
Let go of me."
No, she's not the fish.
I almost got it past you.
She's not the fish. It's just a frozen fish they found on the floor.
Why not? What?
So Kate Blanchett says, "Stop teasing him and making him kiss that fish." And then they go, "Oh, I'm really sorry, Miss
Blanchett.
Blanchett, I know your dad owns the mayor."
"I know your dad owns the mayor."
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sorry. I meant to say your dad is the mayor.
Your dad owns the mayor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Kate Blanchett's dad owns the mayor. Yeah. And they're really scared of her because of that.
We all remember the mayor in 70 Sheffield being a household appliance.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that time when everyone voted for household appliance?
That's what we find out later. The mayor isn't the mayor of Sheffield. It's just a baseball bat with spikes.
No, it's a kitchen sink.
Yeah, that he hits people with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're really scared of him.
Yeah.
So they'll do whatever Kate Blanchett tells them to do.
Mm. And where does this bit go?
So Rupert Grint says, "Thanks for making me not have to kiss that fish." And then she's like, "Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it."
Mm.
So then, anyway, next day, same sort of thing starts happening. She, every single time, she like wards off these bullies. And then eventually they start going like, "Kate Blanchett's not all that. What the hell? What the hell's all that about? Like, she's just because her dad owns the mayor. What we should do is steal the mayor from her dad. And then we'll bloody show her, right?" And then Rupert Grint, I think, it overhears this, them talking and plotting it in the night.
Mm.
And
on the streets of 70s Sheffield.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh no. What if they keep doing that, they're going to steal the mayor from her dad, and then he'll be ruined, because that's what he uses for his job. He's got the only kitchen sink in Sheffield."
Mm.
So
it's a real kitchen sink drama.
Yeah. So he says, "Oh, bloody hell," which is his catchphrase.
It's his catchphrase from, yeah, Harry Potter. Well done.
He says, "Oh, bloody hell, I guess I'll just have to make myself the center of their bullying again. And then he goes in the morning. He goes to or just before they go back to go school, and they're getting their black thieves' gloves on to steal the kitchen sink, and it'll throw Sheffield into a world of pain. He goes, oh, look at me then! I love fish! I love fish! And then he, like, kisses the fish right on the lips.
And the fish starts singing.
He says, throw me in the water.
Yeah.
Take me to the river. I don't know how that song goes, but it's something about going to a river and dropping him in the water.
Throw me in the water.
Drop me in the river.
Yeah.
I'm a fish and that makes sense because I'm Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Yes, he kisses the first Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Yeah, and that's this guy's, Rupert Grint's character name is Billy.
Hmm.
And they all go, Big Mouth Billy, kissing
fish.
Kisses fish all the time. And then Kate Blanchett's like, why are you doing that? And then they graduate. And Rupert Grint, it cuts to Rupert Grint, first Big Mouth Billy Bass, invents it. Well done him. Rich man. Kate Blanchett inherited Sheffield's kitchen sink. Managed to pay for more kitchen sinks, but not for those boys who all went to prison.
Okay. That time I kissed a fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tom's making angry eyes at me.
No, I'm smiling.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's like an aggressive smile, though.
Yeah, it's just really funny.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that movie came from that title?
What? That time I kissed a fish, it's true?
Yeah. Fair. Okay.
I don't know what your problem is, Tom.
I don't, yeah.
That was a perfect film.
Yeah.
It's got a soundtrack, good soundtrack. Drop Me in the River or whatever.
Yeah, Northern Soul soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
By the Commitments.
Yeah. Forgot about them.
Yeah.
Earlier on in the pitch. They're just in the background.
Yeah, singing. They voice Big Mouth Billy Bass.
All of them.
Yeah, every single one of the Commitments.
They're like, I am Big Mouth Billy Bass. They've just got to all tune their voices to the same flat tone.
Awful, discordant tone.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Also,
just the two of us.
It's easy if we don't bother.
We can podcast if we try. Just the two of us. Rom-con episode.
Roncom. Is that like Rupert Grint?
it's a roncom. It's the spin-off to Harry Potter that no one asked for.
It's a roncom. It's Rupert Grint trying to swindle the British public.
It's like it's like the spin-off to Harry Potter called it's Harry Potter told from the perspective of Ron. It's called You, Me and Hermione.
I get it from the words. Never seen You, Me and Dupree.
No, me neither. It sounds like a terrible idea for a film.
Really?
Yeah.
What happens in it, Tom?
Married couple move in together.
Yeah.
And Owen Wilson is there also.
That I wasn't expecting, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen the trailer for it.
No. Nope.
Sure, like the poster?
Nope. Nothing except, I just think You, Me and Dupree is a good name for a film. That's all I've ever known.
I can't remember who the main guy is, but I know that...
It's like Me, Myself and Irene. It's just sort of like a fun name for a film.
Yeah. Again, one where they've just got the title and gone...
What should we do?
Yeah.
They've lives have pitched it.
Yeah. They've Doctor Who'd it.
Yeah, get the title. But usually with Doctor Who, it's like a spaceship full of ants. And then they make a show called... Then they write the title, or they write the episode that's just a spaceship full of ants.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next one is just like... Guns but backwards. And then
there's an episode about guns but backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas I guess Me, Myself and Irene has a little more interpretation to it. Like, makes more sense if you've watched the film.
Well, Me, Myself and Irene could be about just a person and Irene.
Yeah.
The
could
fact,
totally be.
I think it was a... If they did it the way we write films, I think it was a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
To have Jim Carrey have a split personality. Jim Carrey as well. With his kooky personality.
He's got such a kooky, cast of characters in him.
Oh, yeah. They're all kooky and
they're all Ace Ventura.
Yeah, they're all Ace Ventura, yeah.
You know. They're just Ace Ventura at 1, and then Ace Ventura at 10, and then 9, 8, 7. Like, basically, you got if you put Ace Ventura at 5, he's like semi-kook. And then the mask is like 10. Andy Kaufman's like at 7.
Mm.
But also, actually, at 3.
Mm.
So, yeah. Like, he's sort of, you know, goes back and forth between those.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, rom-com or not?
Ace Ventura at 1.
Ace Ventura at 1.
Yeah.
Is that your answer to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Rom-com or not? Yeah,
Ace Ventura
just,
at 1.
Basically, do you consider Ace Ventura a rom-com? If so, yes.
Titanic, rom-com or not?
I don't think Jim Carrey was in that. I'm not being fine with talking about Jim Carrey right now.
He might have been in the background.
Can you imagine if Jim Carrey was in the Titanic?
He would not help.
Just as a guard, I don't mind.
Just in the background, doing some kooky shit off in the corner of the screen.
Just one of those guys, he's like a Victor Garber's assistant.
Yeah.
Just being wacky.
So, yeah, I think that's what that film needed, really.
Yeah, it did need some wacky.
That Titanic, if anything, needed a shot of Jim Carrey. As in like a shot of heroin straight to the veins of that film.
It was like just after Jim Carrey had sort of dried up there on the old being really, really picked for everything, kooky. So, you know, when they said, oh, who do we need to be in Titanic? Everyone went, well, Jim's not at his best anymore, so we won't put any kooky characters in this one.
No, we've got this kooky character in Titanic,
and they put all of his scenes.
It's the iceberg.
They put they put all his scenes into a box, and that box wasn't opened until Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Other rom-coms I have seen. Here's a question. I think I've seen most of Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yeah.
That's definitely a rom-com, I think.
I have not seen.
I have seen... Nope.
I've seen some.
I
reckon you've seen a lot, because rom-coms tend to be just films to quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, rom-coms now tend to be...
I haven't seen Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Four Weddings and a Funeral, the classic rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what's his name? Richard. Damn it.
Madeley. Iowati.
Richard. No.
And Judy.
Richard Hawkins? No. Richard.
The Dreyfuss.
Guy Blackadder. Why can't I remember his name?
Attenborough.
Richard Curtis.
Richard Curtis.
I typed into Google Ben Elton and.
Okay. Yeah.
Ben Elton and Richard Curtis. Yeah. Richard Curtis. Richard Curtis does a lot of British rom-coms.
Yeah, and they're always like awkward, stilted ones. Whereas
American
rom-coms. What are they? Like,
American rom-coms seem to have like a lot of zany...
Hitch is a rom-com.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Bridesmaids has rom-com elements to it. Bridesmaids is pretty good.
I sort of assumed Silver Linings Playbook was one, but I don't know.
I don't think so. I haven't seen it. There's a lot of films we haven't seen.
Mamma Mia. I've seen some of that.
Yeah, that's
several rom-coms going up at once.
like a firework.
Yeah.
Like a Catherine wheel.
All of them, like, setting their house on fire while they do it. Like, really not... To no one's benefit. Mamma mia, several rom-coms at once to absolutely no one's benefit.
Because rom-coms aren't my favourite genre of movie.
I'm not even sure they're a genre anymore.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, they became a genre in the
90s. Yeah.
And essentially what happened was... They became a genre in Shakespeare. And then later on, they became a genre in the 90s. And then, like... all of the tropes that come out of a rom-com just ended up in other films.
Mm. Like it morphed into just comedy. I think just comedy movies, because quite a lot of I think there are still rom-coms out there.
Everyone's favorite film, Knocked Up.
No, that's a com rom.
That's a com. Yeah, the rom definitely comes second.
Mm.
But also, I tell you what. Also,
it's a comedy romantic.
I tell you what comes eighth is comedy in that.
It's a comedy romantique.
It's a com rom,
because the comedy comes first before the
after romance. The weed jokes mainly, yeah. And then some.
Oh fucking hell! I forgot. Yeah, that's a Seth Rogen movie.
Yep.
40-year-old virgin.
40-year-old virgin.
I was about to say 40 days and 40 nights.
Not even.
That's another rom-com.
Not even 40 days and 40 nights. And yeah, 40-year-old virgin. I would say 40 days and 40 nights is more of a teen comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, abstinence is funny. And then.
Isn't it?
It's hilarious. And then, but 40-year-old virgin is a good film.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In a way.
It's just, like, stupid, but okay.
I've never seen Stupid.
Funny. Stupid.
Yeah.
It's that kids show on the CBBC.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was there a kids
show? Stupid. Stupid, yeah.
Oh, huh.
It's just a sketch show with someone you know in it. Not personally, I don't think. but someone you've heard of is in it.
Someone I know is in Stupid.
Someone you know personally is in Stupid. Your best friend.
It was on
Keith.
It was Keith. Who?
Keith Idiot.
Yeah. What did he look like?
He's got big orange hair and
go on.
And
I remember him very vividly. I just wanted to know if you knew.
Spiral nose. He's got a spiral nose, Tom, as you well know, but you shouldn't bring it up in conversation.
No, you should never question the spiral nose.
No, he knows.
Yeah,
when you're talking about the spiral nose. Yeah, so your mate Keith Keith Idiot. Your mate Keith Idiot's in Stupid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You not remember him?
Yeah, no, like I said, I remember Keith Idiot very, very vividly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, what's your favourite memory of you and Keith Idiot?
The time we went down to the park and sat on the swings.
That sounds like a nice day.
Yeah, it was quite a nice day. The sun was out and it started raining for a bit.
Yeah, go to a cafe and have a hot chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, this is a really nice day. I haven't seen Keith for quite some time now.
Yeah, well, after he got that job in Stupid, he nobody saw him. He went down to London.
Yeah.
But no, when he was back, you know, there you go.
Mm.
So anyway, 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
It's got some good jokes in it. Steve Carell's okay, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, from what I remember anyway... There's a bit where he's got a condom over his hand. He goes, "I am Aquaman." And I didn't really understand it because Aquaman's just a bloke.
Yeah, like again, I think just comedy films now tend to have a rom-com element to them always.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
You mentioned Steve Carell, and I'm just like, Oh, Anchorman. Supergirl's an Anchorman. That's got rom-com elements.
Got some
to
of
it.
Them, yeah. It definitely parodies rom-coms.
Mm.
I think it parodies romantic films. Mm. The sort of, I don't know.
Meet the Parents.
Super rom-com-y, yeah.
Classic rom-com.
But also just awkward comedy.
Yeah.
Like, because the tension there isn't, oh, will she like me or not because of my... Yeah.
No, she does like me. Will her dad like
me? Yeah, exactly. You know, all that shit.
Mm.
God, it's boring.
I quite like Meet the Parents. Those two films, Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers, quite good.
I really dislike cringe comedy.
Yeah.
So as soon as you give me a cat who flushes the toilet, yeah. I'm like, right.
Yeah. You see, okay. I hate cringe comedy when it's zany, like that. When it's purely
seemed
character
pretty,
based.
Pretty zany to me.
Yeah. No, yeah. I hate zany cringe comedy is ridiculous. But when it's like, when it's character based stuff,
yeah,
like in The Office, that's the good
it's,
shit.
Yeah, fine. If you can see something of someone you know in it, that's at best. That's where it's at its best.
Mm. But when it's a cat that can flush the toilet,
and then,
dog that humps stuff,
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Then again, if the zaniness is pushed overboard.
Yeah, to the point where, like, you become a wizard, then yes, I agree.
Airplane.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. But that's not cringe.
It's not cringe,
nothing cringe about Airplane.
Zany comedy like
I love a bit of zany comedy.
Pushed over the edge.
You have to remove the cringe out of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll be on board with zany comedy from point one out of 100. You put a tiny bit of zany, sprinkle a little bit of zany on anything, and I enjoy it, as long as it's not cringe.
Well, the fact in Meet the Fockers where he says asshole in front of a kid, just as an everyday curse that he'd use.
Yeah.
And then the kid picks up on it and he's like, oh my god, I've ruined this kid's life. However, what the fuck is the dad gonna think? Mm. Like, that's the thing going on in everyone's mind.
That's the tension I hate.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's too much for me. I can't even meet the parents. I can't meet a human being. I've not met your parents yet.
No.
I spoke to them earlier. I've not met them.
You're not been introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, but I think, like, yeah, that rom-com is one that's sort of dying, and then there's always a resurgence of it. I think, like, early 90s and then, like, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And then early 2010s.
Oh, do you know what it is? I'm just starting to realise.
Mm.
It's, this is how we do dating now! What? So, like...
But this is how we do dating now is so, so twisted nowadays. It's hard to make.
I mean, nah. Like,
yeah,
totally wait. I'm waiting for the Tinder movie. Not joking, I'm waiting for the Tinder movie.
Yeah.
Easy, you know, waiting for the Plenty of Fish movie. You call it Plenty of Fish, and you will sell 100,000 billion tickets, and you will you just star someone that people find vaguely attractive and can do a joke one time, and, like, you just go, oh, they're all awkward, they go, oh, she keeps swiping left, or whatever you do with Plenty of Fish. And then she doesn't like that one. Oh, that's a strange man. And you have a montage where loads of different men turn up and you just do all the speed dating jokes again, but everyone goes ha 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 because it's like Tinder. And that's written.
Right. 2021-22, should we make a prediction that there'll be a surge of rom-coms again? Is it start of the decade?
Oh yeah, I'm not even sure. I'm gonna call it next year.
Next year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start here. You'll start seeing them announced.
Yeah. So 2020-2021 kind of.
Yeah.
Time,
that sort of area, because I think it's just percolated through consciousness enough for people who are 80 years old and have too much money to go, this is how the kids are dating? What the hell? I'll make a movie about it!
Mm. I think the fact that I view dating as something very... I don't know, it's sort of very... Just sort of... Like, I watch Take Me Out, right?
Yeah.
And think, This would be a great sci-fi dystopian world.
Yeah, no, it would.
Like, yeah, there's only one man to help but I think, repopulate the world.
I mean, I think we could probably write the Take Tinder, the Plenty of Fish movie.
The Take Me Out movie.
Yeah, we could do either of them, to be honest. Yeah,
same film.
Yeah, it'd be slightly different, but like, because one would be a dystopian nightmare and the other would be like a slightly dystopian
would
nightmare.
Be the Take Me Out movie.
But I think you get a weirdly skewed thing with Tinder and stuff like that, right? Because everyone's so lightly connected to each other that it's so easy to just close a conversation.
Mm.
So even the people who you would be like, oh, totally great. Like, if you knew them, even if you're, like, absolutely on the same level, you have that secondary thing of, like, if you never, like, hit through the surface level of sort of, like, communicating through text. I'm terrible at communicating through text. I don't understand how to do it. I don't understand how to start doing it, so...
Oh, yeah. No, I want to read a conversation I had with this girl the other day, because it was just...
Please, this is an insight for me.
Yeah, I mean, you don't like cringe comedy, so...
No, you're right. That's true.
It's, yeah, it's a line I've been working on.
Yeah, is it like, why do girls have so many rights?
Right, no, right. I've asked this question, I think, to three girls on Tinder.
Yeah.
I got two replies.
Right. And the third one sent you a threatening letter.
No, it's like, oh, because like quite a lot of times you get sort of, hi, how are you? And it's just boring. Like no one responds to that ever.
Yeah.
Apart from if they're just really nice. But yeah, so I've been like, oh, hi, name.
Yeah.
What's your favourite food? And then if they reply, I'm like, all right, there's a nice favourite food restaurant in town. Want to go on a date there sometime? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Bit of flirty banter.
Flirty banter.
Flirty bants.
Question, answer, date.
Yeah. Sorted. I hate talking by text.
Yeah.
Like, you know that about me, where it's just like, yeah, we organise shit online. I occasionally shit post on our group chats or whatever, but it's just like, yep, that's that.
Yeah, we very rarely talk outside of meeting each other.
Long conversations.
Yeah.
It's just like, when are we meeting each other?
Yeah.
Don't. So, like, for that, that's the thing.
Starting to think that internet dating might not be for you, Tom. No,
it's really not, but I don't meet anyone else otherwise that's single. Like, that on Tinder, I know people are single.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, I start this conversation with, hi, blank, what's your favourite food? She responded with, that's a difficult question. I like a lot of food. Crisps.
Good. There's a great crisps place in town. Do you want to go to the crisps place?
So, already I've been pushed off what I was going
to
do.
Yeah, but please, tell me you lent into the crisps place.
Not sure if there's any crisp-based restaurants in Sheffield that would be able to go to. No, that would be good to go to.
There's some crisp-based restaurants that I don't think hold up to par.
Not sure if there's any crisp-based restaurants in Sheffield that would be good to go to. And then she's responded with, oh, that's a shame. End of conversation.
End of conversation. That is a shutdown, that, isn't it? Oh, that's a shame.
To be honest, my line was a pretty shutdown as well.
Yeah, I don't think. If you start your thing with, I don't think, you're probably, I don't think, .. anything. You could have said anything after that, and she was probably going to go, okay. Okay, then, was going to be the response to that one. Tom McGrath, everyone, is single.
Are we doing this?
I think you'll be getting your...
There's over 100 and something hours of my voice.
You'll be getting Twitter messages all the time, and they'll be dressed up as pitch titles, but they'll all be propositions after this.
Yep.
Everyone will be asking you to take you out and dates to crisp restaurants.
But right, I've got another one where I think, yeah, like I said, I've only asked this three times. One, didn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think this one went on for quite a bit. So, hey, blank, what's your favourite food? Hi, my favourite is chocolate. It's so yummy. I was like,
chocolate restaurants. Is there a
chocolate restaurant we can go to somewhere?
It does sort of feel like you got too hung up on the response to that question. I think that might be in the execution there. It's a good opening question, but I think you need to be more on the ball.
Yeah.
Nah. on the ball for improvising the answers. Because I don't think you're always going to get Indian food. I don't think the answers you're going to get aren't always going to be.
Matt, I'm not always going to get, for example, Indian food. Matt, I've never got the example of that.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I don't think you can expect to get the name of a restaurant every time you...
If you're listening to this and somehow we match on Tinder and I ask you that question, respond with just a restaurant.
The name of a restaurant. What's your favourite restaurant? Alan's Diner. Sorry, what's your favourite food? Alan's Diner. I hear there's a great Alan's Diner in town we could go to. Do you want to go?
No, the perfect response to what's your favourite food would be name of restaurant, postcode, time.
Done.
We'll get and all. That's what I text back. Done.
get all the small talk out of the way in person.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Small talk is a nightmare.
And just skip to the big talk. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't mean like when I'm dating. I mean in general. Like I can't remember the last time I tried to parlay using the weather. For instance, I'm just like, so what do you think about Benghazi? That's usually my opening line for new friends.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.